RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, highlight, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. The interest of microcredit program could to decrease 7%. Indonesian banks see hurdles to higher lending despite liquidity boost. Now the news in detail. State Minister of Cooperative and Small Medium Enterprises UKM Anak Agun Gusti Ngurah Puspayoga has ensured that the interest on microcredit program KUR will decrease to be 7% in 2017. Now the interest rate of KUR is 9%. The decision to decrease the interest rate is the care of government towards businessmen of UKM. As quoted by Kompas.com, Minister Puyoga also said the government trusts and supports grassroots. He explained by the decrease of interest rate of KUR from 22% to be 12% and 9%, it will be decreased again to be 7%. It is expected to decrease the enthusiasm of UKM businesses. Bold steps by Indonesian Central Bank aimed at spurring lending to lift economic growth might not generate a significant rise in loans. Bank Indonesia cut a host of rates. It has now reduced its benchmark reference rate by 50 basis points this year and cut bank's rupiah reserve equivalent by 150 basis points since November. The moves should give a solid boost to liquidity, but still with economic condition and rising level of bad loans will cap expansion of lending, according to bankers who say loan demand remains tepid and best. As quoted by Jakarta Globe, Chairman of Indonesian Banking Association Sigit Pramono said, banks follow the trend. Economic growth must improve for Indonesia. He also said banks will be cautious about lending when times are tough because it might create bad loans. Indonesia will sell more sovereign bonds to local individual investors this year. This was stated by Director at the Finance Ministry, Loto Srinaita Ginting. He said that his side tries to lower the dependence on foreign funds and defend the local financial market. Indonesia, as a Southeast Asian largest economy, will sell for Tezos retail bonds in 2016. Indonesia will issue conventional and Syria retail bonds as it is regular issue and add two more instruments, conventional sovereign bonds and Syria sovereign bonds, that investor hold until maturity. Ginting added that the government plans to raise 10% of its rupiah bond issuance target through these retail notes, or around 54 trillion rupiah, around 3.99 billion US dollars. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Secretary General of Democratic Party Hinca Panjaitan has demanded that minister in the administration of President Joko Widodo stop feigning blame for the lackluster performance on decision made by Joko Widodo's predecessor Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono. As quoted by Jakarta Post, Hinca said Democratic Party has kept track from the start of this administration. Some of the ministry openly put the blame on him. Hinca also said that several ministers were in fact using Yudhoyono as a scapegoat for many of their failures. It would be better if they resigned after realizing that they had failed to find solution to their problems. Coordinating Political, Legal and Security Affairs Minister Luhut Panjaitan has told the United Liberation Movement for West Papua, which campaigned for Papuan independence, to loop the country as it could pose a threat to the country's territorial integrity. As quoted by Jakarta Post, Minister Luhut said they would be better to join MSG, do not stay in Indonesia anymore, referring to Malaysian spearhead group, a sub-regional grouping in the Pacific comprising Papua New Guinea, the Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, Fiji, and New Caledonia. The United Liberation Movement for West Papua was formed last year when Vanuatu hosted a unification summit for West Papuan representative groups. The last item, finalist from North Sulawesi, Keisha Roslin Cikitawaru, has been named Miss Indonesia 2016 after beating her two rivals at the final round of the contest. As quoted by Antara News Agency, the 24-year-old girl took the crown from Miss Indonesia 2015 from Central Java, Anindita Kusuma Putri, who had promoted Indonesia in the past year through her participation in the Miss Universe 2015 beauty contest, an achievement to be among the biggest 15. After receiving the crown, Keisha was congratulated by Miss International 2015 from Venezuela, Edimar Martins Blanco. Jose Blanco, who was present at the event. Keisha will later represent Indonesia in the Miss Universe 2016. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Sarah Reward Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with press review. Various important events occurred this week are summarized in press review compiled from various newspapers published in Jakarta. Let's start with Kompas newspaper. In its editorial on Wednesday, February the 17th, this daily writes, "Soft response against corruption." The arrest of some officials of the Supreme Court by the Corruption Eradication Commission is not a new story. It only extends the list of cases. Public should be agitated and angry when officials of the Supreme Court level, namely the head of Civil Cessation and Governance Matters Subdirectorate, was arrested with hundreds of millions of rupiahs as evidence. Besides him, a lawyer and a businessman were arrested. However, the public was disappointed because the game of money in the highest judicial authority was responded softly by the Supreme Court. According to this daily, normative response in this case can be seen from the statement of Supreme Court spokesman Suhadi. He argued he was waiting for the results of the commission investigations. He was not sure when the man will be suspended or even fired. The public also have not heard how the response of the lawyers' organization to the arrest of one of its members by the commission in the bribery practices. Bribery occurred in the scope of the highest court in Indonesia, according to Kompas Daily, is a shameful scandal. When the sword of justice began to be traded, a sign there is a major problem in the state of law of Indonesia. The next review is from Media Indonesia newspaper. In its editorial on Friday, the newspaper writes, "Out of economic sluggishness." In accordance with the annual ritual, the government and parliament will soon enter the discussion of the budget revenue and expenditure revised budget. Last year, it was legalized in February. Similar deadlines are almost certainly will not be met this year. The government hopes that the calculation of the revised budget 2016 projections also incorporate additional tax revenue from the implementation of the limitation of the tax amnesty law. According to the former Director General of Taxation, Sigit Priyadi Primadito, at least 60 trillion rupiahs will flow into the state budget this year. It is very important additional revenue to offset the decline in oil and gas exports. The House of Representatives is promising tax amnesty legislation will be completed next month. However, according to Media Indonesia, the dynamics of politics in the House last year has kept the legislation in hostage. The government has to be prepared with a backup plan so that the debt does not swell in order to increase the deficit. The way that can be taken is to cut spending. There, the government also need to be extra careful in sorting expenditure posts so that they can be saved. According to this newspaper, when the economy is still sluggish, government projects in various regions are expected to be the motor of job creation. With those projects, the target of 5.3% economic growth this year could be maintained. Let's conclude press review today with Republika newspaper. In its editorial on Friday, February the 19th, the Daily writes, "Take care of the country's sun." Through a steep journey, Rio Haryanto was ultimately announced to be one of the most prestigious car racing participants in the universe, the F1 Formula 2016. He will join the UK-based team Manor. It is important for the history of the Indonesian nation. One of the best sons of this nation can appear in the very privileged event. According to this daily, young people like Rio is indeed inspiring. His strong passion to pursue the world of racing, making him carve many achievements. He went through international rallies with great passion to be a champion. Now Rio's persistence has brought fruition. He had carved a very high achievements for Indonesia. Rio Haryanto road to perform the best achievements should also be smoothed. He must remain a son of the nation of Indonesia who has given much inspiration and encouragement to move forward. Youngsters who steadfastly catapulted the name of Indonesia in the international arena can be a model example to be transmitted to the public. At least, the achievement of the sons of this nation will give the message that we can all be seen in the world. If we continue persistent, will give the best thing for the nation. Well, that was press review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We begin with an event in February 20th, 1967. President Sukarno signed the mandate submission of power for General Suharto. After the September 30th, 1965 event, which killed the generals of Indonesia, the political condition in Indonesia was heating up. Political parties and government activities, as well as the socio-economic condition in Indonesia, became chaotic. The involvement of Communist Party and other elements had forced the security authorities to act quickly. Indonesian President at that time, Sukarno, signed at the State Palace in Jakarta the mandate submission of power to General Suharto to prevent the worst condition. 3 days later, the mandate was announced officially at the palace by President Sukarno, witnessed by Presidium Chairman of Ampera Cabinet, the ministers and army commanders. The next event is in 1967. Intergovernmental Group on Indonesia, or IGGI, had the first meeting in Amsterdam, Netherlands. IGGI was an international group established in 1967, initiated by US to coordinate multilateral coordination for Indonesia. The members of it were Asian Development Bank, International Monetary Fund or IMF, United Nations Development Programme or UNDP, World Bank, Australia, Belgium, Great Britain, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, New Zealand, Switzerland, and United States. Indonesia, on its first meeting in Amsterdam, was represented by Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX. The first aid by IGGI was the 5-year development plan or Repleta I of 1969-1973, and 60% fund of it. However, the cooperation of IGGI and Indonesia ended in the 90s because of its intervention in Indonesian politics. Listener, we end the day in history when an event in Sinala crater of Dieng Plateau sparked toxic gas which killed more than 149 people. Dieng Plateau is an active volcanic area in Central Java, included in Banjarnegara Regency and Wonosobo Regency. One of the craters available in Dieng was Sinala. In February 20, 1979, the Sinala crater located in Dieng Wetan Village, or East Dieng, erupted and caused earthquake. As many as 149 people died because of breathing in the deadly carbon monoxide. The gas was spurted from Timbang Crater, triggered by the eruption of Sinala, which is located nearby. The event was treated as national disaster. By the Wonosobo and Banjarnegara government, Dieng Wetan Village was declared as restricted area. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today's edition is on President Joko Widodo visits Silicon Valley. after attending a meeting of leaders of ASEAN and the United States in California on February the 15th and 16th, President Joko Widodo took time to visit Silicon Valley in San Francisco on Wednesday, February the 17th, local time. Silicon Valley is the area where enterprises engage in computer and semiconductor operating. There, the president visited such companies as Google, Twitter, Facebook, and Plug and Play. In a written statement received by Investor Daily, Indonesian Minister of Communication and Information Rudiantara said the president's visit to Silicon Valley was related to the government's plan to grow a digital-based economy or e-commerce. The Ministry of Communication and Information Technology has developed a roadmap to realize a transaction e-commerce-based trade amounted to $130 billion by 2020. At the Google offices, President Joko Widodo expressed his appreciation to Google's support in tackling illegal phishing in Indonesian seas. Google lent its data analysis technology for environmental projects aimed at encouraging initiatives of sustainable commercial fishing. The project, called Global Fishing Watch, was the result of a collaboration between Google Earth with a non-profit organization Sky Truth Digital Mapping and Marine Advocacy Group, Oceana. Global Fishing Watch, designed to show all fishing activities that can be tracked in an ocean, is a platform technology that uses satellite data to deliver information to the public about overfishing and make global fishing activities more transparent. During his visit to Twitter office, President Joko Widodo met with Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey. On the occasion, President Joko Widodo expressed his hope that Twitter would increase its cooperation with Indonesia in conveying humanitarian messages such as disaster responses as well as messages of tolerance and peace. The president also visited the offices of Facebook and met with Chief Executive Mark Zuckerberg. The president expressed the hope that Facebook can support Indonesia's efforts to empower the digital economy for micro, small, and medium enterprises with the aim of achieving the vision of becoming the largest digital economy in Southeast Asia and reach $130 billion in 2020. The same expectation is declared by the president when meeting with Plug and Play executive Syed Amidi. Meanwhile, in San Francisco, President Joko Widodo also met Indonesian diaspora. About 800 Indonesian citizens who live there gathered in the auditorium of the Palace of Fine Arts on Tuesday evening local time to meet their president. On that occasion, President Joko Widodo asked young people from Indonesia who are abroad, particularly in the United States, to return home later and develop business in the country. The president was determined that in the near future, Indonesia has over 1,000 technopreneurs and developers in the field of information technology. The president promised that credit scheme given to young people will be lighter than the schemes for regular people's business credit. Well, that was Focus Today over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on President Joko Widodo visit Silicon Valley.
Hear news in brief read by Rahmana. State Minister of Cooperatives and Small Medium Enterprises, Anand Agun Gusti Ngura Puspayoga, has ensured that interest on microcredit program KUR will decrease to be 7% in 2017. Bold steps by Indonesian Central Bank aimed at spurring lending to lift economic growth might not generate significant rise in loans. Bank Indonesia BI cut a host of rates. It has now reduced its benchmark reference rate by 50 basis points this year and chopped banks' rupiah reserve requirement by 150 basis points since November. Indonesia will sell more sovereign bonds to local individual investors this year. This was stated by Director at the Finance Ministry of Finance, Loto Srinaita Ginting. He said that as his side tries to lower the dependence on the foreign funds and deepen the local financial market. Secretary General of Democratic Party Hinca Panjaitan has demanded that Minister in the administration of President Joko Widodo, Stoth Pinen, blamed for the lackluster performance in the decision made by Joko Widodo's predecessor Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono. Coordinating Political, Legal and Security Affairs Minister Luhut Panjaitan has told the United Liberation Movement for West Papua, which campaigns for Papuan independence, to leave the country. Finalist for North Sulawesi, Keisha Roslyn Cikitawaru, has been named Miss Indonesia 2016 after beating her two rivals at the final round of the contest. As quoted by Antara News Agency, the 24-year-old girl took the crown from Miss Indonesia 2015 from Central Java, Anindya Kusuma Putri, who had promoted Indonesia in the past year through her participation in the Miss Universe 2015 beauty contest and achievement to be among the biggest 15. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listener, it is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to come to Ngetun Beach in Gunung Kidul, Yogyakarta Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, if you look for beautiful beach but it is rarely visited by tourists, you can go to Ngetun Beach. Ngetun Beach is located at Surong Hamlet, Purwodadi Village, Tepus Subdistrict, Gunung Kidul, Yogyakarta Province. It is quite difficult to find it because its location is behind building of Tepus Elementary School. You can pass through road which is long side of the school. After arriving at intersection, you can take straight road and pass through two villages. After you pass through the field, you will find Center Springs. Here you can park your vehicle. Then you must continue your trip by walking through slippery stone. Ngetun Beach, which is hit by two high hills, makes this beach like beautiful small bay. Visitors can climb to the hill to enjoy beautiful Ngetun Beach. Listeners, arriving at Ngetun Beach, your fatigue will disappear immediately. You will see white sand and clean beach, which is still natural. The sound of wave which hits coral reef, green hills and trees surrounding beach makes you feel comfortable. Sometimes you can find turtle at the beach, which is breeding. Listeners, at Ngetun Beach, you can also find a hidden beautiful scenery. Trees alley before entering the beach is like welcome gateway. Ngetun Beach has smooth sand. Usually, local people catch lobster from the hills. Visitors can also fishing while sitting and relaxing under the shady trees. It is very pleasure, isn't it? Listeners, Ngetun or Getun in Javanese language means disappointed, but we guarantee that you will not be disappointed if you are successful to arrive at Ngetun Beach, because this beach is very beautiful, although desolate. Entirely, this beach is natural, beautiful, and suitable to be visited by people who like adrenaline. Because of difficult road, it makes many people to cancel their desire to visit this beach. To go to the beach, we suggest you have good preparation to avoid obstacle in your trip. And please do not forget to bring your own food and beverage, because at this beach there is no stall. Listeners, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Ngetun Beach in Gunung Kidul, Yogyakarta Province. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including its art and culture, lifestyle and technology, even culinary. Today's edition will be discussing the World Day of Social Justice, which is observed on February the 20th annually, so stay tuned. Based on the resolution of the United Nations in November 2007, the United Nations launched a new international day, the World Day of Social Justice. The resolution called on all countries in the world to run its economic system based on justice, equality, and shared responsibility. Social justice is not a favorite theme of open discussion, however, because currently the world is experiencing financial and economic crisis, the theme of social justice becomes more important to be discussed. According to Philip Eger of the International Labour Organization, ILO, moreover, the economic crisis is the result of an unjust financial system. The message in this Memorial Day is, if anyone were despised because he is poor, it is human rights violation. Social justice is generally understood as a state in which where a person should have the right and equal opportunity in all aspects of social life. The history of its adoption began in 1995, when Denmark hosted the Conference or Summit on Social Development in Copenhagen. The summit, attended by 100 heads of states, yielded a declaration called the Copenhagen Declaration and a program of action to address poverty and unemployment, social stability, as well as safe and fair society. 10 years later, a member of UN reviewed the Copenhagen Declaration and program of action in a meeting of the Social Committee of the UN in New York in February 2005. They agreed to implement the declaration. On November 26, 2007, the United Nations General Assembly set February the 20th as the World Day of Social Justice. The United Nations has so far launched more than 60 international anniversaries. That number will continue to grow. Marie Huse, spokesman for the UN in Geneva, ensuring that the United Nations will not limit the launching of a new international commemoration day. Poverty alleviation, promotion of full employment and decent work, gender equality and the right of access to social welfare and justice for all are important points on the alert. The gap between the poorest and the richest in the world extends and develops. Society must do more to empower individuals through decent work, supporting the community through social protection, and ensure that the voice of the poor and marginalized to be heard. It was contained in a message from UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon in commemoration of the World Day of Social Justice. Well, that was Miscellany over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on the World Day of Social Justice. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Wherever you are, welcome back with me, Mariati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones, in addition to shortwave 9525 kHz. You can also listen to this program through our audio streaming at www.voa.co.id or through RRE Play and RRE World Service mobile applications on your smartphones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Maudy Ayunda, a girl who has complete name Ayunda Faza Maudy, has begun her career as actress since 2006. VOA listeners, before we discuss more about Maudy Ayunda, let's listen to a song entitled Cinta Datang Terlambat, which is means love comes too late. Enjoy the song.
Ku mengerti mengapa begini. Waktu dulu ku tak pernah merindu, tapi saat semuanya berubah, kau jauh dariku, pergi tinggal. Mungkin memang ku cinta, mungkin memang ku sesali, pernah tak hiraukan rasamu dulu. Aku hanya ingkari kata hatiku saja, tapi mengapa cinta datang terlambat.
Listeners, you have just listened to the first song entitled Cinta Datang Terlambat from Maudy Ayunda. The song is her first single from the second album entitled Moments, which was released 2015. This song was original soundtrack of a film entitled Refrain, which was starred by herself. This song told about friendship between two persons which has been fostered since they were young. When they were in senior high school, they had a new friend, namely Annalise, fell in love with Nata, while Nata falling in love with Nikki, but Nikki had a lover. Nikki was too late realizing that Nata must love her, so that finally Nata went to Austria to pursue her study in college. For our listeners, let's listen to a song entitled By My Side, sung by Maudy Ayunda featuring David Choi. Enjoy the song.
I want you here forever, right here.
listeners, that was a song entitled By My Side, sung by Maudy Ayunda, featuring David Cho. Finalist of CoverGirl in 2009 recognizes that she much loved David Cho's works. David Cho is a singer from the United States. Maudy said that she is very happy to know David Cho to be ready collaboration with her. The process of By My Side song was very interesting because they did not record the song in the same time. It is due to their activity, whom of them live in different continents. Their work is worth getting appreciation because remembering the difficulty to perform the recording process, which is quite high. VOA listeners, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to songs entitled Bayangkan Rasakan and Untuk Apa, meanings What's For, sung by Maudy Ayunda. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Sekilas di hidupku, namun meninggalkan luka tak terhapus oleh waktu. Tertawa hanya untuk tenangkan jiwa, namun yang ku rasa hampa semua hilang tak tersisa. Bayangkan, rasakan. Bila semua berbalik kepadamu, bayangkan, rasakan. Bila kelak kau yang jadi diriku, terdiam di tengah heningnya malam. Coba untuk memaafkan dan lupakan kesedihan. Maaf, sangat sulit kau ucapkan. Selalu ada pembenaran atas hal yang kau lakukan.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Hari dimulai. Indonesia kan menyapa tanpa salam di hari yang ditentukan, dilahirkan, ditemukan, dan dipisahkan. Gugur satu, tumbuhlah berjuta cinta. Cinta melahirkan jiwa ke dunia. Sang penyair menorehkan garis awal kehidupan yang berjalan terencana dalam pesan yang bermakna, mengatakan insan ke dalam semestanya di dunia. Waktu takkan pernah mengulang dan rahasia kan menyapa tanpa salah di hari yang ditentukan, dilahirkan, ditemukan, dan dipisahkan. Gugur satu, tumbuhlah berjuta cinta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Bukan yang ingin adakahku sedikit di hatimu? Bilakah ku mengganggu harimu? Mungkin kau tak inginkan adaku. Akankah ku sedikit di hatimu? Bila memang ku yang harus mengerti mengapa cintamu tak dapat ku miliki, salahkah ku bila hatiku, kau yang ada di hatiku. Bila cinta kita takkan tercipta, sekedar ingin tuk mengerti adakah diriku, oh singgah di hatimu, dan bilakah kau tahu kau yang ada di hatiku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.